I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Good evening, class, and welcome to Binary Gamer. I'm your host, Tony Spears, and this is the show where passionate people talk passionately about the things that we're passionate about, that thing being video games. Remember, you can find Binary Gamer in all the places you get your podcast: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcast. If you can get a podcast there, you can find Binary Gamer. You can also go over to YouTube, check us out over there. Go to YouTube, search Binary Gamers, check out all the awesome stuff we do over there. And, of course, you can find me over on Twitter, at iFlipWithTheSwitch, Twitter handle in the podcast episode description. So, now that that is out of the way, and before we get to the week that was, let me just say, first and foremost, I apologize, one, for the acoustics in this room. It is horrible. I am well aware of that fact, and I'm going to do everything I can to remedy it. Right now, though, that is kind of out of the realm of my ability. Unfortunately, due to the setup I got this house in right now, things are rough, to say the least. That's probably the best way to put it, is things are a little rough. My computer is just sitting in an empty living room currently, and while I'm enjoying the space, I don't have the studio space quite set up yet. So that's going to be a little bit down the road, probably in the coming weeks. But until then, we're stuck with the acoustical nightmare that is this. It's pretty much an atrium that I'm in right now. Aside from that, we, the royal we, have to apologize for missing last week. I was moving into my new place, and as much as I was dead set trying to get everything set up and, you know, get things rolling out to record the show for that week, but it just was not in the cards. And I'm not a big fan of trying to make it up in the middle of the week because I feel like I throw the schedule off. So we just got 2 weeks of stuff to talk about. But that's all right. We're going to make this work. We're going to get the train rolling again because the train does not stop, can't stop, won't stop. We're going to get it going. So let us get in to the week that was. So we got 2 weeks of stuff to talk about, but in reality, it's really just one. The majority of my week last week was spent playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege again, which is really nice. Also, we got me thinking about a couple other things that we're going to get into further into the esports and competitive gaming series, which we will continue after this. But I don't really see this episode being a part of that. Not right now. There is other stuff to talk about, though. But aside from Rainbow Six Siege, the new season, the new league for Path of Exile just started up. So I hop back onto that train again, as much as that has been. Man, it's difficult getting back into that game after being gone from it for so long. The last time I played, like, real in-depth was when maps first kind of became a thing. And I didn't really get too far into that. So I'm looking forward to diving in deep on this one. So far, I'm liking it. A lot of good mechanical changes and stuff. A lot of like patches and updates and stuff. So that's been really good. And aside from that, just getting back into things, still playing a lot of Dragon Ball FighterZ. Been getting handled online. Also doing some handling, if we're being honest. It hasn't all been taking L's. I've had some good matches, a lot of fun. And also been playing with a lot of people over on the Army team. You know, getting in some practice there, but mostly just like organizing stuff and things like that. So that's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing more of it. Look forward to playing some more Siege. Also going to try and get back into some Monster Hunter World as well. Oh, and then also, I almost forgot. I finally got to dig into the Fortuna expansion for Warframe. That has been really cool. K drives are just as cool as I thought they would be. It's not quite Tony Hawk meets Space Ninjas, but it's pretty close. I got a really cool, really cool achievement. It said Hang Tenno, and I was like, you know what? I'll give you the points just for the good pun. But that's really all I've been playing. And aside from that, just been a lot of, you know, looking around at games and checking out the news and watching a lot of really cool stuff online. Speaking of cool stuff online, let's talk about the Game Awards. So, man, the Game Awards came and went, and a lot of it was kind of what we figured it was going to be. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty on things. I'm just going to hit on a few key points and why I'm going to be talking about them. And then move on to the real big stuff, which is the announcements that came out. All right, so for Game of the Year, we have Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2. As much as everybody had all their money on Red Dead Redemption 2, it was God of War. And to be perfectly honest with you, I feel like it is well-deserved. Now, are the Game Awards the end-all be-all when it comes to not just the public opinion, but like the industry opinion on these awards for these games? No, it's not. But it is nice to see a game like God of War that has fantastic writing, just an amazing story, great world built around it, awesome gameplay, great characters. It's nice to see that game recognized. Now, I haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2 myself, but from what I'm told, it's on par there. And I'm not saying that it wasn't deserving of a nod. I mean, it did get nominated after all. But when you also have games like Monster Hunter World and like Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed Odyssey up there, I think it's really cool that, you know, like there's a pretty strong running. Celeste being on there, I think, is a really good addition and also a real good nod to you know, a lot of these like smaller indie games. It's not to say that it was made by, you know, two guys in a garage or something like that, but it is considered a smaller niche title. And the fact that it was even considered for Game of the Year, I think, is really cool. So hats off to God of War. Good job, guys. So now we move on to Best Ongoing Game. So really what this means is just like a game that kind of, it's basically best game as a service. And that's kind of what I figured it was going to be. So it was Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, which I don't really know how that got put into nomination. I mean, look, they've come a long way. Like Hello Games has done, like they've practically resurrected that thing from the ashes that it was. But I don't know if it deserved to get nominated, but that's just me, whatever. Overwatch and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Of course, Fortnite won because Fortnite, but I think honestly, my bet was going to go toward Rainbow Six Siege only because that game, if you take what that game was in the beginning to what it is now, it's almost night and day. They have made huge improvements in that game, and I think that it's a testament to Ubisoft and Ubisoft Montreal really digging down and saying, no, man, we can make this work. Let's just make the game better. Because when it started out, a lot of people didn't like it, and they, over time, like with new operators and new maps, changing game mechanics, balancing and things like that, that game has really become something special, and I'm really glad that it got its nod. Like I said, personally, that would have been my pick, but Fortnite is Fortnite. So that game was almost definitely going to win. So then we have Best Game Direction, A Way Out, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. Again, God of War won. Really this kind of comes down to like the best, like, when it says Best Direction, it's really, in my opinion, more about like the game sticking to its original vision. And I think God of War does that from front to back, like cover to cover. That game sets out to tell the story and to do what it wants to do, and it does it very well. So I'm glad they won. Best Narrative, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Life is Strange Episode 1, which I have not played, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2 won it. Now, again, I don't know the story or any of the backstory stuff for Red Dead Redemption 2. I know it's a prequel to Red Dead Redemption, and I played that. But I mean, it won out over God of War, so it must be something awesome, because I personally think that God of War, like the story in that was, in my opinion, the standout portion of that game. I mean, granted, gameplay was amazing. It was a lot of fun to actually play and to be in that world and to see all the, you know, to see Norse mythology kind of come to life and stuff like that. That was all really cool. But like the father-son dynamic of that game, in my opinion, is kind of what makes it when you're talking about the story. Because, I mean, I can relate to that. Granted, I don't have a relationship quite like that with my son, but I can appreciate, like, you know, like Atreus throughout the story is kind of like this, not just discovering himself, but also, you know, learning who his father really is and learning like the nature of the world. And I don't know, that just kind of, you know, as a parent, that kind of hits home. But hats off to Red Dead Redemption 2. Best art direction, we have Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Return of the Obra Dinn. So if you're not familiar, Return of the Obra Dinn is kind of a, not narrative-based, but, well, yeah, it's like a narrative-based, kind of, not like point-and-click adventure. It's real story-focused, and it's like a investigative, it's not a point-and-click adventure. You're going around, you're finding clues, you're like an insurance adjuster, and you're on this ship called the Obra Dinn, and you're trying to figure out how everybody on there died, and like account for them so you can do the insurance adjustment appropriately. You know, you're trying to do your job, man. You're a professional after all. But I think it's really funny because the whole thing is done in like a really weird, like high-res Game Boy is the best way to explain it. Like if they took the art aesthetic of Game Boy and just like resed it up to like, you know, do 3D models and stuff like that, that's kind of what the game looks like. And it looks really, really cool. The way it presents the world and the way things transition and stuff like that, I think is really neat and lends itself very well to it. So congratulations to the Return of the Obra Dinn. So best score/music. We have Celeste, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, and Red Dead Redemption 2. The winner being Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, I heard a lot of people say that it should have been Celeste. And while I haven't played the game myself, that game gets a lot of praise for not just the gameplay, but also for the soundtrack. So I think kind of a missed opportunity. But from what I'm told, the music in Red Dead Redemption 2 is really good as well. Best audio design. I guess it's just, you know, how it sounds. In my opinion, that could kind of go into like score and music because, well, that's... We're not here for my opinion. All right, best audio design. Call of Duty, Black Ops 4. Forza Horizon 4, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. And of course, goes to Red Dead Redemption 2. Best performance. So, Brian Deschart as Connor from Detroit Become Human. Christopher Judge as Kratos from God of War. Oh, man, that is quite a name. Melissa Sani Mahut as Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to say your name. Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan, Red Dead Redemption 2. And Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker in Marvel Spider-Man. And it goes to Roger Clark for Red Dead Redemption 2. Pretty good. I personally think that Christopher Judge as Kratos is like, I think that edges him out, man, because it's a lot of gravity in that performance. But anyway, moving on. Games for impact. So I'm not going to sit here and try and elaborate on what I think this category actually means. I think it's more about just like the message under the actual game itself. But so the list is 1111 Memories Retold. Don't know what that game is. Never played it. Celeste. Florence. Haven't played that. Heard good things about it. Life is Strange 2, Episode 1. The Missing. J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories. Not aware of that either. But Celeste won it. And that's really cool that Celeste won. Well, it won more than one category. In fact, it won Best Independent Game. Went to Celeste, Dead Cells, Into the Breach, Return of the Obra Dinn, and The Messenger. Now, for me, this is a tough one. I understand the love and everything for Celeste. I truly do. But, man, in my opinion, Dead Cells should have had it. Dead Cells was a just an amazing game to come out this year. Like early on in the year, with it being in early access, it was really rough. You know, things were kind of, you know, rough around the edges, which is to be expected. And it just slowly went on to just become this like rolling behemoth of an amazing game. Such tight controls, great gameplay. I love run-based games, but the way it keeps it fresh, and I appreciate that. So while I'm sad that Dead Cells didn't win, I'm happy for Celeste. So good job. Best debut indie game. Donut County, which is quite hilarious. If you have not played Donut County, you should go and play it. Florence, Moss, The Messenger, and Yuko's Island Express. So Yuko's Island Express probably should have won this one, because they somehow made an RPG, made a pinball game into like an adventure platformer, and that's really cool. But The Messenger won, and if you don't know why The Messenger won, go and play it, and you'll probably figure it out really quick. Best mobile game, Donut County, Florence, Fortnite, PUBG Mobile, Reigns, Game of Thrones. And Florence won that one. Again, not familiar with Florence. I should check that out, though. Best VR AR game goes to Astrobot Rescue Mission. Runners-up are Beat Saber, Firewall Zero Hour, Moss, and Tetris Effect. Now, while I do love me some Beat Saber, I think this should have went to Tetris Effect. Now, Astrobot is, by all accounts, a better, like, full-package game, but the presentation that Tetris Effect does with VR is, in my opinion, like, has not been replicated, and it's going to be a while this year, or in the coming year, to see something that is just like that, like awe-inspiring, in my opinion. But that's just me. Best action game: Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Dead Cells, Destiny 2 Forsaken, Far Cry 5, Mega Man 11. And the winner there is Dead Cells, and I am super happy about that, and I completely agree. As far as just a straight up pick it up and play it action game, like, a lot of these games in this list have some learning curve. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, there's a bit of a learning curve. Destiny 2, bit of a learning curve. Far Cry 5, pretty big learning curve depending upon how you want to play it. Mega Man 11 is, I mean, it's a Mega Man game. Is it that hard to pick up and play? No, but it's still more Mega Man. Dead Cells is a game you can just hand the controls off to a buddy and be like, check this game out, and they can get it like that. And that's why I think that game excels. So good job, Dead Cells, for winning Best Action Game. Then we have Best Action Adventure Game. I don't really know what the difference here is, I guess. I mean, yeah, sure. I guess we'll just say it's like, oh, there's branching paths and so on and so forth. I don't know. I think they could have rolled these in, but I think they were just trying to make it to where, you know, God of War would have another win, which it did. So Best Action Adventure Game: Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider. God of War won. I think, honestly, though, like, if I'm going for, like, action-adventure and the way the game feels, like, God of War is amazing, don't get me wrong, but Spider-Man was doing some really cool stuff, man. So, that's fine. Best role-playing game: Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age, Monster Hunter World, Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom, Octopath Traveler, Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire. So, while I think, honestly, Octopath Traveler probably should have won this, Monster Hunter World did, and I'm super happy about that, because, like, let's be real now, Monster Hunter World is hands down the best Monster Hunter that has come out in a really, really long time. Now, is it kind of like baby's first Monster Hunter because it takes out a lot of the really annoying crap that previous Monster Hunter games had that only diehards were dealing with? Yes. Is that stopping anybody from enjoying it? Nope. And that's why I think it's awesome. So, good on you, Monster Hunter World. Good job, Capcom, for winning Best Role-Playing Game. Best Fighting Game. So, this one we all kind of saw coming. So, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Soul Calibur 6, or Star Wars. Nope, it's not Masters of Terrors Kasi, promise you. Street Fighter V Arcade. And the winner is Dragon Ball FighterZ. And that's really to be expected. That game is... God, that game is so good. That game is good. That game is better than it has any right to be, honestly. And I think it's only going to get better. I think as long as they want to keep it as a service and continue to support it, I think it'll stay on really well. If they go the like Street Fighter route, it might get a little dicey for some people. I don't know. Anime fighters don't typically go that route, though, so we'll have to see. But I look forward to future content for Dragon Ball FighterZ. They're just going to keep putting people in, and I'm just going to keep playing with them. All right, best family game. This one kind of threw me for a loop, honestly. Mario Tennis Aces, Nintendo Labo, Overcooked 2, Starlink, Battle for Atlas, Mario or Super Mario Party. I really thought that Super Mario Party was going to win. I was wrong. It was Overcooked 2. And the Overcooked games are really fun. They are great party games. But at the same time, I really kind of expected Mario Party to win because, like, my kids love Mario Party. My kids love everything about that freaking series, and they will just play that game to freaking nauseam. But I don't know. Maybe I should have them try out some Overcooked 2. It's not a bad idea. Best strategy game. We have Battletech, Frostpunk, Into the Breach, The Banner Saga 3, and Valkyria Chronicles 4. And it goes to Into the Breach, and I can totally understand why. Into the Breach is a strategy game that has very deep strategic systems, but also has the look, feel, and like the simplistic presentation of a Advanced Wars game, and I think that's what really won it out. It invokes so many memories of that real fun, just like sit down, get a couple units building, okay, cool, I'm going to run through this map and turn it off, feel that Advanced Wars had. And I think it's really cool that Into the Breach won. So good on you guys. Best sports or racing game, FIFA 19, Forza Horizon 4, Mario Tennis Aces, NBA 2K19, and PES 2019. And the winner was Forza Horizon 4 because that game is gorgeous. And realistically, if we're like going up against annualized franchises like FIFA, NBA 2K, or PES, in reality, you're going off of who looks better. And while Mario Tennis Aces was a lot of fun, it doesn't look great. That's not to say that game's not fun. Mario Tennis has always been fun, but like when you're comparing sports games, like tennis is tennis, football is football, basketball is basketball, so on and so forth. So a game that presents itself really well and brings some new twist to it is probably going to win out, and that's exactly what Forza Horizon did. All right, best multiplayer game. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Destiny 2 Forsaken, Fortnite, or Monster Hunter World. Now, my personal choice, of course, goes to Monster Hunter World for obvious reasons, and Fortnite 1 for obvious reasons. And then it gets into a lot of stuff that I'm really not going to get into here. Like content creator of the year goes to Ninja. Meh. Okay, fine. Best esports player went to Sonic Fox. Good on you, my man. Best esports team, Cloud9. Best esports game went to Overwatch, which I don't know, man. Like the same list has CSGO, Dota 2, Fortnite, and League of Legends. And if you're thinking that Overwatch beat out League or Dota, I don't know where you're getting these polls from, but sure, we'll go with that. Best esports event went to League of Legends World Champions, which is weird that it beat out the international, but that's just me. And then we get into best esports, went to Shots. That's really cool. She seems very nice. Best esports coach went to Bach Reaper Hongqian. Hopefully that's how you pronounce that. And best esports moment is Cloud9's comeback win in triple overtime versus FaZe, which I'm not even really sure which event that was at. I should probably go and look that up. But now we are out of that, and we are on to the announcements. So here's the real nitty-gritty, kids. The stuff that you care about. The games that are coming out. Well, I'm going to go down the list of the four that really had me excited, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so first off is that Persona 5's Joker is going to be coming to the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate lineup in the first round of DLC. This makes me excited for two reasons. One is the fact that I think Nintendo has finally thrown the gloves off, and it's just like, you know what? If they let us have them, we'll put them in the game. So that opens up everything. Like, guys, girls, kids, we might get Goku. Imagine Goku in Super Smash Brothers. My God, man, it would be glorious. just raining down spirit bombs on everybody. Good times. But most likely it'd be something from Marvel. So anyway, that's gonna be pretty awesome. I look forward to seeing, like, there's so many characters in there now, like looking at what could possibly come up with DLC, that has me pretty excited. So then we have the announcement of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. So this has me really jazzed for two reasons. One, I love the Ultimate Alliance games, and the fact that they've been gone for a decade now makes me really sad. But the fact that it's coming back is awesome. Two, it's going to be a Switch exclusive, which is really cool. And it's going to be made by Team Ninja. But that kind of bums me out it's going to be an exclusive, because I don't currently own a Switch, so I gotta get that figured out. I will be playing this game. This game is gonna be rad. Then we have the announcement of a new Dragon Age game. That's freaking rad, because after, man, there's no real good way to say this, but after the botched job that was, Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda. Thank you. Jeez. God, words today, I tell you. Anyway, after the botched job that was Mass Effect Andromeda, like, BioWare needs to really come to bat. Like, they need to get out there and be like, all right, man, we're gonna freaking put up the big ones and see what happens, and hopefully it turns out well. I think it will. I mean, granted, you could say historically that, you know, Mass Effect was always a solid franchise, but I've never played a bad Dragon Age game. Even Dragon Age 2 was pretty good, even though it wasn't the best, but it was pretty good. And then finally, we have Atlas. So basically, this is a game that's coming out that is made by the same people that make Ark, Survival Evolved, and it's just going to be massive. So everything I've seen and the trailers that I've watched, it's essentially like if you took a toy box full of stuff, like you have a pirate ship in there, maybe it's like a big plastic dragon and a bunch of Lego knights sets and stuff in there, and just like took all that random fantasy and like high adventure stuff, threw it into a freaking blender, blended it up, and then like put it out there. That's what Atlas looks like it's going to be. It looks pretty cool, and I'm only putting this on my hype list over The Outer Worlds, which is essentially the love child of Borderlands and Fallout made by Obsidian, because I think it's pretty easy to tell what The Outer Worlds is going to be. It's kind of not a known quantity, but you can kind of put the money where you want it to be, because it's going to be solid. Obsidian's making it. The formula is out there. They've been doing this for a while. It's going to be a pretty solid game. Unless something completely out of left field happens, I'm pretty sure The Outer Worlds is going to be a good game. Atlas, on the other hand, kind of remains like an unknown quantity. Now, granted, the guys that made Ark Survival Evolved made a really good game, but that's really the only game they've made. So can they do something that is claiming to be 1,200 times bigger than Ark? I mean, maybe. Is it kind of unlikely? I'm just saying that a lot of people were really hyped about No Man's Sky, and look what we got. That's the thing. Like, you kind of look at these one-trick ponies, and you had, like, Hello Games, who made Joe Danger, and then we're trying to make freaking essentially a space epic with No Man's Sky. Came up kind of short. Then you had the people that made Ark Survival Evolved, and while it shares the same genetic makeup as what Atlas is shooting for, the scale they're talking about, that might be hard to live up to. So that's just me being cautiously optimistic, maybe like cautiously like middle of the road. I don't want to say pessimistic. I like to think they could do it. But again, that remains to be seen. And that is it. That is everything that came out of the Game Awards. There were no more announcements that came out. Things like Mortal Kombat 11. That was just a cinematic, though, which looked pretty cool. Poor taste in the musical choice, in my opinion, but I mean, still looks like a pretty good cinematic trailer. We'll have to see how that turns out. But yeah, the Game Awards came and went, kids. That is the score as of now, and we'll just have to see how it all pans out. I think overall 2018 turned out to be a pretty good year for games. Like, if you're just looking at the overall list of stuff that we got to play, like everything from Monster Hunter World being amazing, Mega Man 11 came out and made me believe in the Blue Bomber again, freaking Dead Cells coming out and just completely surprising everybody. Awesome little gems like Celeste and the Return of the Obra Dinn. Games you could really sink your teeth into, like Into the Breach. All these awesome games came out this year. And, I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's been a really good year for games. I can't really complain. And I think that's where we're going to leave this episode off. Can't really complain, kids. 2018 was pretty dope when it came to games. So that is going to do it for this episode. We will return to the esports series of episodes next week. We're going to be talking some CSGO, and it's going to be pretty freaking awesome. But until then, thank you very much for listening. Remember, you can find Binary Gamer in all the places that you get your podcast: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can listen to Binary Gamer. You can also check us out over on YouTube, youtube.com, search Binary Gamers, head over there, see the awesome stuff we do over there. And of course, you can find me over on Twitter at iFlipOfTheSwitch. And if you just want to hang out, talk games, ask some questions, maybe throw some ideas up there for different topics that you'd like to hear about. It doesn't have to be related to esports. It can be anything. Remember, we are historians and scholars here. Thusly, we are into talking about anything there is to do with games, as long as we can, you know, spin it into some type of informative and educational light. And that's going to do it. Have an awesome weekend, kids. Thanks very much for listening. Go play some games. Class dismissed. Man, the echo in this place is horrible.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Wherever you go, however you go, for energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.